Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Trial Run. A trial run is defined as a test of the operation of a new system or product. There's a hotel I've been watching going up. Almost finished. They put the sign on the other day, and they will have, either they're about to have it or they've already had it, something called a soft opening. Anybody ever participate in a restaurant, hotel, something soft opening, you know what that is. They're not open, but they invite people to come, stay in the rooms, eat the food, and make sure all the systems are go, and kind of a trial run on the facility. So as it turns out in life, you don't get a trial run, because life is the run. The trial run is the run. So you say, well, I thought we could make a run at it and test it out and see if it works. You don't get to go back. You don't get to go back and say, well, no, let's stop everything. And you say, well, what about becoming a Christian? So in a sense, it's true. You're born again. You start all over. You're adopted into the kingdom of God. So old things are, you know, gone. Everything's new. Old things are past. All things are new. All that's true. But all the time leading up to you becoming a Christian is part of that trial run. And part of what got you to respond to God in the first place was the trial part of the run. Because you think you can do it by yourself. This is just kind of all about your tolerance for pain, right? So everybody's got a different tolerance for pain. And God comes along to me, comes along to you, and he says, okay, are you done? And they go, you know, I'm almost done. Give me like 6 more months, right? I just want to wrap this particular sin up and make sure I've exhausted all possibilities. Now you laugh. If that's not what we're doing, why don't we run from the trial? Instead, we run back to it. So you've got people, the trial run is, the trial comes to them. God says, okay, I'm going to test you. And we'll get to some definitions in a minute. I'm going to test you. I'm going to try you. You're going to have to hang with me to pass this test. And instead of facing that test, we run. And we want no part of that. Now, here's the problem with that. If you don't face the storm, if you don't stay with him and stay in there and say, okay, God, this is going to be intense, but I would rather survive this trial run than run from this trial, and let's get this over with, whatever you're trying to teach me. You say, well, but I ran and I got away from it. You got away from nothing. You just postponed what's going to turn out to be even more intense than it was if you had just done it when he said to do it. Right? Because the discipline, the consequence, he keeps turning the dial to get our attention. So I need you to go do this on your own, but Genesis 37 to 41 covers the life of Joseph. So I'm going to throw a stone over the lake, so to speak, here and talk to you about this kid, Joseph. He was the youngest of his brothers, sent to check on his brothers out watching their flocks and get out there. And he had had dreams as a kid. He told his brothers, one day you'll bow to me, all kind of crazy stuff. That didn't go over big. And so they want to kill him. They're about to kill him. They don't kill him, but they throw him in a pit. They slaughter an animal, take this coat of, you've heard of Joseph's coat of many colors. They take his coat, put this animal's blood on it, you know, take it back to dad and say he got killed. You know, these guys are evil. And if you go look, the 12 tribes of Israel are all named after these idiots. I mean, if you're thinking, oh, God can't use me, trust me, he can use you. I mean, these were some bad people at the time, okay? So let me just kind of parenthetically say here this. Unfortunately, when God picks you, you literally can be an idiot, and he will still use you. So it'd be a much better situation if I would stop being an idiot and let him use me in a different way than just use me in spite of me. So these guys tell dad, he breaks his heart. So Joseph, this young kid, is not killed. One of the brothers goes, no, we can't kill him. So this, you know, these traders come by on the way to Egypt and they sell him, their own brother. So he's off to Egypt, gets there, and is sold to a guy named Potiphar, ends up working in Potiphar's house. Now Joseph is owned. He is literally owned by this man. He is a slave. And his wife keeps hitting on Joseph, ends up running this guy's house, didn't keep anything from Joseph, you know, said, you can't have my wife, basically, and she's after him anyway. Long story short, she hits on him, one day grabs his coat, pulls it off of him. He's saying no. She's scorned, shunned, you know, screams, help, help. Everybody knows he didn't do anything. So Potiphar does what? Puts him in prison, puts him in the best prison there was, though, in the king's prison. Because I think he knows, Joseph did nothing to my wife, but he's got to honor his wife. So now he's owned by Potiphar. Now he's running a prison. And you say, well, what is all this about? Why is God allowing this crazy stuff to happen to me? How many of you would say that a large percentage of your problems are a result of your own poor choices? Raise your hand. Okay, so we all understand that. A lot of challenges I have. So those hands up. How many of you have had something happen that you think God allowed it? You can't trace it. It's some kind of trial, and you just, I guess there's a reason for this. I just don't know why. Raise your hand on that. Okay, so that's a lot of hands. So like, what's going on? You have to trust him. Now you say, but this kid has some dreams when he's very young, tells his brothers, that's part of the reason this whole thing dominoes. So he goes from being owned by Potiphar, ends up in prison, interprets a dream, ends up running that prison, and within hours one day when he's 30 years old, he goes from running the prison to being cleaned up and taken before Pharaoh himself and interprets a dream, and within minutes, he is made prime minister of Egypt at 30. You say, well, that's cool. It's not cool. It's cool that moment, but what about all the junk before? That is the trial run. And you say, well, I want God to use me. I want him to purify me. I want him to do extraordinary things in and through my life. It's not going to happen if you don't submit to the testing, to the trial, to the process. Okay? So you say, but this isn't any fun. Nobody said it was going to be fun. So why would you allow yourself to be tested or tried or all these things? Some people go, I'm not doing that. And you run from it because you got no goal in mind. If your goal is holiness, if your goal is godliness, righteousness, serving God, letting him work in you and through you, then you say, okay, bring it, whatever it takes. Just don't leave me out of the equation. Let me be a part of your plan. Okay? So there are some people that you just feel like it's a beatdown. Now, if you go back in those chapters in Genesis 37 through 41 and read those chapters, what is very fascinating about this kid, Joseph, and then 30 running Egypt and ends up, and I'll read you something about this in a second, is you can't find any verses of complaining. I can't find a single verse of Joseph complaining about any of it. You say, well, how's that possible? If you know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life and that you trust him and he's going to take care of you and that he's not going to, unless you do something stupid, he's not going to allow anything to happen that is more than you can take, and it's not just him jacking with you. This is, you know, people think, oh, I guess God's just having a bad day and going to, you know, screw around with me today. Like getting a stick and playing with an insect or something. Oh, let's squat. No, we won't kill it. Let's just torture it. That's not God. So you say, but he let a terrible thing happen. He's got a reason. You say, well, I don't trust him. And there you go. It's done. It stops. So when you meet someone who, when great things are happening, they're thanking God, you go, okay, well, anybody can do that. People aren't necessarily thankful even when good things happen. They forget to thank God. But when you meet someone that in everything they give thanks, even the bad stuff, that's something else. You cannot thank God for bad stuff, seemingly bad stuff, unless you trust him. It's not possible. So when I hear somebody thanking God in very adverse situations and trials and tests, I go, something's going on with that person. They get it. They know that God is testing them, is conforming them to himself, and some suffering may be involved, but they're willing to submit to that. So go to Psalm 105. There's a bunch of stuff covered in this psalm, but we're going to jump in Psalm 105, verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Okay, so look at that phrase. God calls for a famine in the land, destroys all the provision of bread. But God had sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. You say, well, I'm not going to be sold as a slave. Then you're not going to be used if you won't submit to what his plan is. So what is it that I or you, what is it that we are unwilling to do that if God said, that's my plan, you go, I'm out. I'm not doing that. Now, it's possible you say, well, I can't think of anything. It's possible that you actually can think of something, and you've probably said it without knowing you've said it. And God says, okay, I want you to do this. You go, I'm out. I'm not doing that. Or I'm not giving this up. Or I'm not going to change in this area. I don't care if you can change or not. I don't want to change. And then you wonder why you just, you know, land on your rear and can't figure out why it's not moving and God's not using you like you see him using other people. So he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions to bind his princes and his pleasures and teach his elders wisdom. Now, what in the world does Joseph know about wisdom? You know a ton about wisdom if you've been through what he's been through. You say, well, how does some 30-year-old kid know all that? He submitted to the trial, to the test, to the word of God, as it's stated here, and until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So what if God's got a plan for your life, and if you just asked him, say, well, what's the plan? He said, well, this is my plan. You go, I'm for that. Let's do it today. He says, you're not ready today. You won't take the test. You won't even study for the test. Now, how do you study for a test? And if you're studying for a test spiritually, what does that look like? Where are the answers? In the scriptures. I'm going to tell you why we don't pass our tests. We don't know what the word of the Lord even is. So if you know, if you say, well, yeah, it'd be a whole lot easier to take a test if you knew all the answers. Duh. Then learn the answers. Then the test comes and you go, oh, I got this. So you just keep telling me I should read my Bible. Exactly. And well, I keep failing. I'm trying to, you know, graduate and pass these tests. You're not going to pass the test without studying, and you're not going to study without the scriptures. You say, well, how does that work? It means when the test hits, the scriptures, things for me that work are in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when something bad happens, that's what you think. Hopefully I'm old enough now where that is exactly what finally starts kicking in. Do you know how calm you can be with that verse in the middle of a test? You go, but something bad's happened. Okay, who's still in control? If I'm in control, it's going to be a mess. I don't run the world. I don't even run my life. I can't keep me alive. I can't fix all this stuff. So you sit in the middle of that test and go, well, here's the answer to that question. It's him. And you either know that or you don't. And after a while of studying, you read some scriptures, you hide some words in your heart that you might not sin against him, his word in your heart. And all of a sudden you start pulling those words and you start passing tests, and life is a whole lot better passing tests than failing tests. Now, this is the tragedy of all this. We're all in the middle of it. If you're still breathing, you're in the middle of a trial run, and it's the only run you got. Whether you like it or not, you don't like the circumstances. You don't like what he's put in your life. You don't like your challenges. You didn't get to pick. Some of it you brought on yourself, so he's using those. But some of them he just said, okay, this is specific for you. I've got a reason for this. Trust me, and we'll get through it. And there are people in this room and listening beyond here who are Christians, will never get it, and will die exactly where you are right now. What a nightmare for you. What a loss. What a catastrophic tragedy, because you will never know. You say, I'm going to heaven, and you think that's all there is? Well, that should be tremendous. You're not there yet. If heaven is so great as it is, and it cost Jesus his life to get us there, then what in the world are we still doing here? He'd pull your number immediately. You are here to face trials and suffering and whatever it is God has for you, to do what he's left you here to do, to learn what he wants you to learn, and to prepare you for that encounter when you get there. Go to Job chapter 23, Job 23, 8. He says, look, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Why is it such a good thing to fast every once in a while when he prompts you to fast? Because we need to love God at least more than we love food. Do I want God and his will more than I want food? Fast for a day and see what happens to you. I ain't giving up food. Would you give it up if it created a hunger and a thirst for righteousness or to accomplish something that he's trying to accomplish in your life? You want to find out how strong the flesh is? Fast. And if you want to put the flesh behind you a little bit, fast. And say, Lord, this is nuts. I want caffeine, sugar, whatever it is, more than I ever want you. What's up with this? What do I hunger and thirst for? It ain't him all the time. It's food most of the time. Hebrews 11:36. So Hebrews chapter 11, all these people of faith. And it's bada bing, bada boom. The first part is just all this extraordinary stuff. And then it grinds into the back half of Hebrews 11. Verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You say, well, I'm not signing up for any of that stuff. People say, well, you know, these countries in the world where people's faith is challenged, and they say, well, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to kill you. They say, oh, I would never deny Christ. They would have to kill me. I'm not denying Christ. If you deny him every day, how do you think you're not going to deny him then? You say, well, I'm not denying him every day. When someone speaks his name inappropriately, do you speak up? All right, just no big deal. When the questions come up about spiritual things and it's time for you to take a stand, the Holy Spirit prompts you, do you go, I'm not getting involved in that? It's like you don't even know him. Peter by the fire, I told you three times, I don't know him. Cussing saying I don't know him. Why? Because Peter didn't want to get sucked into the deal and be killed too, covering his own rear end. It's kind of like giving. If you can't give 1 on 10, 10 on 100, 100 on 1,000, you're not going to make it 100,000 on 1,000,000. Not going to happen. Oh, one day when God makes me rich, I'll give a lot of money. You won't give jack because you'll start running the numbers. Well, I made $1 million and half of that's going to taxes. So let's see, is that on the gross or on the net? You start asking that question, you're done because you're trying to figure out how to get away out of giving, not get into giving, and realizing the money you have is all him giving it to you anyway. Well, I made it. Well, who woke you up? Are you crazy? Well, I woke me up. I set an alarm. You slept through three. 1 Peter 1, let's go down to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And by the way, this word trials means a putting to proof, experience in some cases of evil, adversity, temptation. Okay, doesn't sound appealing or good, but if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And there's a reason for it. He's not just jacking with you. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, and that word tested means a testing or trustworthiness or trial or trying, it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You say, well, so you say trouble's coming. Trouble's already here. The test may have been laid in front of you. The trial is printed in front of you, and you're just staring at the test. Take the test. You say, well, I'll never pass this test. Then say, could I come back? Would you give me a little more time to study a little bit more? I get what you're trying to do. And come back prepared for the test. Okay, let's see what happens. Go study. Now, where does this all come back around to? Sooner or later, you're going to figure out, without the Word of God, you're not going to live the life that He intended. You're not going to pass these tests. So you can't blow off Scripture and live the life you're intended. It's not going to happen because you will not have the answers when the test comes. And you will run from the trial because you got no chance of passing the test. A gentleman over here said he ran a 5K. A lady in the balcony said she ran the same 5K. Did you finish the 5K? Did you just wake up that morning and go, hey, sweetie, look at here. There's a race going on downtown. Right? I'm going to see if I can go run that and see what happens. You're going to pass out after about 100 yards. Why did he run a 5K? Because he set his goal to run a 5K. And I'm guessing he ran a 5K trial run before he ran the 5K. I hope that's right, or your example is going to fall completely apart. Thank you for that. Yeah, he ran a few of them. You say, well, wait a minute, then those were the trial run. No, the reason he was able to run the 5K is because the trial run was the race. You go into any gym, any football field, anywhere you want to go. If they're winning on Friday night, Saturday, or Sunday, they're winning Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because you are not going to play any better than you're practicing. All right, last one, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, 12. Now, please listen very carefully and specifically to what he says. This is in simple English, easy to understand. Beloved, written to Christians, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Hey, why do you think this is so weird, so strange? It's not strange. Why is it not strange? This is the deal. As though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So you say, I'm a Christian. I got persecuted. Great. You know, what do you mean great? It's terrible. Not if you get it. There's nothing shocking or strange about it. Well, they were mean to me. They're going to be mean to you. Read your Bible. It promises you you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be suffering, trials. That's what it is. It's like some, you know, enlistee going to boot camp and calling his mom going, they're being mean to me. Come get me. What did you think was going to happen? They're screaming at me, Mom. Come get me. I thought you wanted to be a Marine. I do, but there has to be an easier way. I want the nice way. Verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, quote, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So you say, well, it sounds like you love trials. I'm not signing up. Well, I've got enough. I'll take a couple more. They're coming no matter what. Not more than you can take. The trial comes. You either take the test, you pass the test, or you run. But you think, well, all this is for the real race. The trial run is the run. This is all you got. And what makes you able to live the way he intended is that you don't run from the trials. You face them, you pass them. And he goes, all right, let's go. Everybody thinks, well, the Bible says I'm going to drop dead and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Why do you think you're going to hear that? You know why people are going to hear that? Well done, what? Good, faithful servant. Is that you? Don't be counting on it, unless that's you. Well, I'm just going to believe that. There's more than just your ticket to heaven. There's a life to be lived. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But you don't get abundant without these trials, without these tests. And see, here I am today telling you all this. I don't even know what's coming. I may have unspeakable tragedy come my way one day. But you know what I'm doing today? I'm studying for that test. because I know he will not allow anything to come into my life or the people around me that I can't handle with him.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.